Well, if you like to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. On Sunday evenings, what I've started to do is look at the spiritual gifts that we receive from our Heavenly Father. Those gifts that we receive when we trust Christ as our Saviour, and as we have discovered that there are various gifts, and God gives different gifts to different people so that they can be a blessing in the local church. And we've only looked at one gift so far, and that is the gift of ministry or serving. And as I said, I was going to go through the list that we discover here in chapter 12, and then we'll make our way through various other passages that talk about the spiritual gifts as well. And so, as a Bible reading, we'll just read from verse 3, where it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And before we look at the next one on the list there, which is teaching, we'll commit this time to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come and consider your word. Thank you that, Lord, you want us to be a blessing to one another. And Lord, you have taken it out of our hands in that you have also gifted us in various ways to be a blessing to each other, so that, Lord, your church and your kingdom may grow in various ways. And I pray that, Lord, as we consider this gift of teaching, that, Lord, you may guide us in having a better understanding of this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, tonight, the gift of teaching. Little bit scary when you're doing that one, because if you don't have a clue what I'm saying, might mean that I don't have the gift of teaching. So, you know, I've got to make sure I at least do it in a manner that you can understand. Now, the ability to teach is obviously a natural talent as well as a spiritual gift. A talent that some people have from birth, because there are thousands of unsaved people who don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them that have a wonderful ability to teach others various things. There are those, if you've gone through school, some have that wonderful ability to teach science, while other science teachers probably don't. Some can make mathematics seem so simple, and they have a wonderful gift to do that, while you've sat in other math classes and you don't have a clue what the math teacher is saying. But some have a wonderful gift and some maybe not have much of an ability there. And they're doing that without the Spirit of God enabling them to be able to do this. And there are many people like this. And so you can't say that the ability to teach is simply a gift from God that you receive at the point of salvation, because there are many unsaved people who can teach things in a wonderful way. I believe also saved people can have a natural ability to be able to teach in this way as well. And those who have a natural ability to be able to teach ought to use that for God's glory wherever the Lord wants to use them, as a form of employment or however God wants to use them. I know that people with this natural ability to teach can often be used by God in the local church to teach as well. That may not be their calling, or it may not be their spiritual gift of such, but God can still use them as well. And so this gift of teaching can be a little bit of a confusing concept, simply because there are people that aren't even saved that can teach so wonderfully well. But I'm talking specifically about the gift of the Spirit of God given to someone as God chooses at that point of salvation where they have this ability to teach, I believe, primarily the Word of God. Some people may have a wonderful gift to teach science, you know, that natural ability, but get them to teach the Word of God and they really don't have a clue what to do. But God does gift people to be able to teach the Word of God. And this gift appears at the point of salvation when God dwells within them. And for those who have this gift of teaching, God has many ways that He wants to use them. So despite all the teachers and all the teaching that takes place, there is a spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit so God can use them. And so this is the gift that I want to be looking at this evening. Now this gift obviously must be an important gift because in the three passages where spiritual gifts are mentioned, teaching is mentioned all three passages, not like other gifts as well. And so we can see that this is a vital gift for the house of God or for the local church. Without the gift of teaching, well, then we're going to struggle to have an understanding of what God says and what God wants from us. Every church needs those who can take the Word of God and explain it in a way that people can understand. And that's one of the keys of having a gift of teaching, being able to share the Word of God in a manner where people can understand it. Sometimes it's getting it in a hard manner and chewing it over in your head and then dishing it out in a manner that is simple to digest for other people. I think of the bird, and it's got the young chicks, and she goes off and gets the food and gobbles it all up and then regurgitates it in a simple form for her chicks to receive it. Well, that is a little bit like teaching. You study God's Word. Sometimes it's deep and hard to understand, and you go through it and you work it out, and then you get it to a process where you can explain it to others in a manner where, hey, that makes sense when you put it that way. Well, that's that wonderful gift of teaching. You know, some may have a wonderful knowledge of God's Word, but that doesn't mean they can teach it. They may have a wonderful knowledge, but when they try and explain it, it just goes over people's heads. Having a great knowledge of God's Word doesn't mean you have the gift of teaching. Some may be able to speak in a razzle-dazzle sort of way where they are able to grip you and they are able to tell lovely stories and they can nearly do a wonderful performance. But that doesn't mean they have the gift to teach. You sit under someone's ministry like that for long and you can often starve spiritually because you're not getting anything. It's just froth and bubbles and nothing else. Some may have a real love for God and a real passion for His Word, but that doesn't mean that they can teach. You can see in their life they have a genuine zeal for God, but when they try to explain something, you don't have a clue what they're talking about. And so we shouldn't just take someone who has great knowledge or can yell and scream or that can have a real passion for God and say, obviously, they must have a gift to teach. Now, we need someone who can take God's Word and explain it in a way that is easy to understand and apply. And it's important for every church, every local church to have this. Otherwise, we're going to die. We need to be fed spiritual food in a way that we can easily digest. And God knew the importance of this. That's why He didn't leave it up to people's natural ability to teach. But I believe He gave it as a spiritual gift as well. He gave the gift of teaching to those of His choosing in order to ensure that the people of God can understand His Word and they can be taught it in a manner that they can understand. And we learn in the Word of God when it comes to spiritual gifts. There are... explain to you there are three things to keep in mind when it comes to spiritual gifts. There are different gifts given to individuals, and there are different administrations of the same gift. That is, different ways the same gift can be used. And then we also have learnt how there are different operations, and that can be meaning that some have a greater measure or ability of that gift than others, and also it can also mean it can produce different results as well. And as we look at the gift of teaching, I'm going to look at it in those three stages: the fact that there is this gift, the way it can be used, and the different results and abilities that come with this gift. So the first thing is, we know that there is a gift of teaching. But how do you know if you have that gift? How do you know if you have that spiritual gift of teaching? When you trusted Christ as your Savior, God decided that through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, He will enable you to be able to teach the Word of God in a way where He can use you in that way in the local church. Well, how do you know? Well, the bad news is there's only one way to really know, and that is to test it and to see if you have this gift. Let me discard a few false ways of discovering if you have this gift. Being smart and knowing lots about the Bible doesn't mean you can teach it. Just because you have maybe a quiz night and you can answer all the questions, that doesn't mean you have the gift to teach. So rule that out. This is another way, thing you can rule out. Just because you are scared to be up the front and to teach people doesn't mean you haven't got it. All right? You might be sitting there thinking, oh, I'm too scared to get up the front. I could never get up and say things to others and teach. So obviously I don't have it. Otherwise God wouldn't make me so scared. No, that's not true. All right? That means you just need to trust the Lord more. Otherwise I would have been in that category. I was deeply hoping that that wasn't my gift because I didn't want to get up in front of people. It scared the life out of me. And so just because you're scared of getting up in front of people doesn't mean haven't got the gift of teaching. The reverse is the same as well. Just having a desire to get up the front and teach isn't a sign that you have it also. I have met many people who wanted to get up and teach, that felt burdened that God was telling them that this was their gift, but once they got up and spoke, and they spoke a number of times, it became very obvious that they did not have a gift to teach. So just having a desire to do it doesn't mean you have it. There's a man in Coffs Harbour, and he loves the Lord like not many people I've met. He truly loves the Lord. And he knows God's Word in a wonderful way. And he believed that the Lord had called him to teach. So we gave him a number of opportunities, and when he spoke so eloquently. It's amazing how well he could speak. But he had this amazing gift, I call it a gift, that he could speak for 30 minutes and you didn't understand a word he said. You're like, it was amazing how you could speak for 30 minutes and no one have a clue what you're saying. Even though he spoke so eloquently and everything. He had points and sub-points and triple sub-points, and you know, you were that confused by the end. And it never changed. He couldn't break out of that. Even though he had a desire, he certainly didn't have a gift. So that's not the way to work it out either. Doing a spiritual gift test on the internet, because there are such things, isn't a way of finding out as well. The only way to know is to test the gift. Have opportunities to teach and see if there is a gift there. And it won't be long before people will discover if you have that gift or not. And it will usually be the people listening to you that will know before you do. People may think, well, mate, when I taught, that just came out so well. I obviously have the gift to teach. No, it's what people who are listening to you think. They will tell you if you have a gift to teach or not. Usually you're the last person to realize if you have this gift. And can I encourage you, regardless if it's teaching or in church, Sunday school, with youth, wherever it may be, if you have opportunities to teach, but people say that you don't have a gift, don't take that personally. Just accept that's what God hasn't gifted you in that way. He wants to use you in another way. It's nothing about being better than some, than others. It's just that God enables people to teach and he doesn't enable others. But that's the way you've got to do it. Have opportunity to teach and then seek counsel and ask if there is evidence of it. It doesn't mean that you can't be trained and a gift can't flourish. You get better as you exercise that gift, but there should be evidence of it there. I know when I first had opportunity, I had opportunity to preach 2, 3, 4 times, and after about the fourth time, I sat down with those in leadership and I asked them, and they said, look, we can see that there is some sort of gift there, and so we would encourage you to continue. But if they were to say, look, we just can't see anything there, I would have been happy to, that's it, okay, I'll find out what my gift is. But I encourage you, the only way you're going to know is if you test. So that's the first thing about the gift of teaching. Second thing is, if you do discover that you have the gift of teaching, we know that there are different administrations of the same gift. That is, different ways a gift can be used. And so what are the different ways that the gift of teaching can be used? Teaching the Word of God. I'd like to just put it down to that. Well, let's look at some examples. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And this would be the primary way, whatever that word is. Chapter 2, verse 42. This is talking about the disciples and the believers in the early church. It says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We see here that one of the reasons why the early church assembled together was to continue, first of all, in the apostles' doctrines. Or you could explain that in a different way, in the apostles' teachings. So they came together for fellowship, yes, for the breaking of bread, that's true, and in prayers, but primarily also in the apostles' teachings. They went to be taught the teachings of the apostles. And so one important part when a body of believers comes together, like we are doing now, is to have teaching and instruction in the apostles' doctrines, which are the epistles and the Word of God. They are to teach the Word of God. We know the Apostle Paul said to the elders in Ephesus to feed the church of God. Peter said the same thing to elders in 1 Peter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's talking about that spiritual food. Preach and teach the Word of God. Let them be fed of the Word of God. And this is the... And so when a church is assembled together like we are, one of the reasons is to be fed the Word of God, to be instructed in the apostles' doctrine. And this is where someone with the gift of teaching is needed and to be used. And so this is pretty basic stuff. So what do when we come together as a church? We get taught the Word of God. And so where would you first use someone who is gifted to teach? Well, at church, obviously. Now, these days, there isn't just the assembling of adults together in a church service like this. There are various different, what we would call ministries, where we are able to teach the Word of God as well. We know that there is that, as a ministry of the local church, there are Sunday schools where we teach children their specific ages. There's the youth group and also the one-way club, and there's the ladies' meeting, and there's a men's meeting as well, and various things. But just take, say, Sunday school, for example. You know, we know that you won't find Sunday school in the Word of God. In fact, Sunday schools only started in around about the 1770s, so they're only new. And Sunday schools actually started to try and help the underprivileged children, I'm guessing in England, they would bring the children off the street and they would try and give them an education. They did that on Sunday, and then they would teach them some spiritual things as well. And so that's really where Sunday school started. And so that is a relatively new thing. But in most churches today, we would have Sunday schools where we are able to teach children at their specific age level. Now, doing that isn't a new thing. And don't let anyone try and tell you otherwise. You know, that had been going on well before the Lord Jesus came along. You know, the Jews in the synagogues, when the Jewish people were taken back to Babylon, because they couldn't get to the temple, they started up synagogues, a place of teaching the Word of God. And if you look at the history of the synagogues, it wasn't just the adults coming together to teach in the synagogue. They would send off, sorry ladies, but they'd send off their sons to the synagogue. They would I think, if memory serves me, they'd probably go about 5 days a week, a bit like school. And then in the synagogue, there were various age groups. There was a specific age from one group to around about grades, the age of 7. Then there was another age group and another age group. And then there was adults as well. And so they would teach them to their age as well. And so quite possibly Jesus was sent off to the synagogue and got taught in his age group as well. So doing those things have been around for a very long time, and that's what the church tries to do in their own way as well, teach to the specific age. And this is where someone with the gift of teaching can be used as well, not just on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, to the adults also on a Wednesday, but then there is that Sunday school time where we teach children at their specific age. And we obviously, there are other branches of that where we have the one-way club and also the youth group and so on. But if you have a gift of teaching, these are other areas. But what about other areas found in the Word of God? Well, have a look in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple," this is where they taught, "and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." And so we see that they went to the temple. That's where the church in the early days met. They met in the church and in the temple, and they preached the Word of God and taught the Word of God. But not only that, they also taught it in every house. So they went from house to house teaching that as well. And so they didn't just teach when it was at the big gathering. And in the church there at Jerusalem, there might have been 5,000 or more. But they also taught from house to house. Now, they didn't cram the 5,000 into a house, but that would be like a little study group. That could be just a one-on-one group. It could be just that family where there was a teacher that went and taught the people the things of God as well. And so here we have those, in our day, those small Bible study groups, that maybe that one-on-one teaching, home Bible studies. Teachers are needed there as well. If we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see another way, an area where teachers are required. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And the things which thou hast heard," this is Paul talking to Timothy, of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So this was the mandate that Paul gave to Timothy. And here we have this concept of training and discipleship of godly young men. Well, I guess it doesn't have to be young men, but godly men. Where Timothy was to find those godly young men, and he was to put special attention into them, discipling them in the things of God. Why? So they could go and teach others as well. And so we see here a need for teachers to teach those men who can go out and teach others. And we know even in the days of Paul, there were the teachers of their day who he sat under, sat at the feet of Camille, or whatever his name was, but he sat under his feet and was taught the things of God and so on. And we see here in regards to training up godly young men today, where we try and do it a little bit more formal, where there's those colleges where we train men so they can go out and teach others. And I believe that is we can take it from 2 Timothy 2:2 that is a mandate from God to do that. And we need teachers to be able to do that. And some are much better at doing that, teaching men that, than teaching on a one-on-one situation or in a family or with children. But teachers can be used in that way as well. And then over in 2 Thessalonians, we see another way that people often don't consider when we're thinking about teachers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, which can also simply mean the teachings which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. They would stand fast and hold on to the teachings that they have been taught in two ways. By word, where they heard someone teach it, or by epistle, by letter as well. And we have some of the epistles that God deemed that these were inspired by Him and we are to hold fast to today. But we know that there were many other epistles as well that were written that we don't have recorded. And I believe that's another wonderful way that a teacher can teach others, and that is through what we would call epistles or even writing books of today. And I know that I have been very edified, and I have been taught much through the books and the commentaries of wonderfully gifted teachers. And thankfully, it isn't just people that get to hear them that get to enjoy their teaching, but I'm being able to also read their teachings and be taught from them as well. And we see that was taking place in the early church as well. They were taught through word and through epistle. And so putting it all together, how can you use your gift if you have the gift of teaching? Well, there's various different administrations of the same gift. There's the teaching here on a Sunday. There's the Wednesday Bible study. There is the various ministries of men and female as well. There is also the different age groups within the local church. There is the home teaching, where you have that home Bible study. There is that training of men, where you may look at the deeper things of God as well. And there is the writing or the epistles or those books of teaching as well. So there are many ways that you can use your gift of teaching if you have one. But just briefly, what are the operations, or what should be the outcomes of our teaching? And there are basically two things we should see or seek or see a result from our teaching. And that the first one is salvation. Just have a look over in Acts chapter 20, if you would. We know that the Apostle Paul was a teacher of God's word through epistle and also through word. And he says there in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. And he says, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." What we see here is that Paul taught both Jew and Greek about repentance toward God and faith toward Christ Jesus. See, when he went into a new city, he went into the synagogue and he taught those unsaved Jews the things of God. Why? So that they would come to repentance and be saved. He also went to the Gentiles and he taught them the things of God as well, so that they would come to a point of salvation as well. Teaching is a very important part of getting someone to come to that point of salvation. I know that I've experienced this many a times where you have someone come into a youth group or into a kids club or even church. They hear a message of exhortation to be saved, and I think, "Mate, that is so clear. What a wonderful gospel message," and nothing happens. Now, why? Because it's the first time they've heard these things and they don't have a clue what's being said. But if they stick around and they get taught the basics, they get taught about who God is, they get taught about sin, they get taught about their about how Christ and who he is and what he's done and how someone is saved through faith and not of works, when they get taught the basic things of God's word and then they hear the same sort of message again, often they will respond and be saved. And what's the difference between the first and the second time? Teaching. They have a knowledge. And that's where teachers are important. Teachers should and have to be able to teach those basic things of the Word of God. And what should we be seeing as fruit? Well, the salvation of souls. And so if you are a Sunday school teacher, if you have opportunity to teach in youth group and one way particularly, but even at church, we need to see that one of the primary operations or results that we want to see is through our teaching, people get saved as they hear the Word of God. So that's the first part. And the second part of teaching, or the second result that we want to see, is growth. People growing in the Lord as well. You turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It says in verse 12 to 14, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What we see here, Paul is saying, you should have grown in the Lord so much that I could give you strong, meaty doctrine to chew on and to understand. But he says, because of how carnally you've been living, I have to just teach you the basics again. I have to go back to the basic things of God so that you can get them sorted out again. But what we do see here is the two different types of teaching that is needed to believers. When someone gets saved, they are a babe in Christ and they need to be taught the basics of the things of God. The milk to new converts. And some have a wonderful ability to do that. That's when it comes to the measure of the gift you have. Some have this wonderful gift to be able to teach those basic things of the Word of God. And some are far more skillful in doing that than going off to the Bible college and teaching those meatier things. Not meatier. While others They have a wonderful gift to be able to teach the meat, the doctrine of the things of God as well. And that's what believers need after they get the milk. They need the meatier things. And a good test of a teacher is if people who they are teaching are growing. They are being rooted in the Word of God, and they're being strong in the things of God, and they're not being tossed to and fro with the things of God, but they have a sure, steadfast knowledge of the things of God because they have been taught properly. And I know this is a test of my teaching. And as a pastor, I have to see you growing in the Lord and in your understanding of the Scripture. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job properly. And that can be a little bit scary because that means you just can't stick with the fluffy, nice milk all the time. You know, it's easy to teach it's nice to teach the fluffy things of the Word of God. It can be a bit more daunting to teach the meatier doctrines of the Word of God for a number of reasons. One, the meatier things of the Word of God can often be less exciting. And so people are sitting there thinking, wow, that's deep and that's boring. Well, some people don't find it boring. You should find it exciting, but it can be hard. But also, meatier things are generally more controversial and can cause a little bit more strife, where you start to get down to the nitty-gritty things of the Word of God. But this is needed. See, this is the basis for everything that we do here when it comes to teaching and preaching. You know, we learn in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. And he goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That is teaching of God's Word. See, what we learn here is the foundation to all preaching is doctrine, teaching God's Word. See, unless we know what God says, those meatier things of God's Word, and we understand the doctrines of God's Word, unless we know those things, we can't be exhorted to apply them. We can't be rebuked for not doing them. It's the teaching of God's Word that must come first. No point going and rebuking someone for not doing something when they haven't even been taught they should be doing it. The teaching comes first before the rebuking or the correcting or even the exhorting. And if you look at the epistles all the epistles, but particularly Peter, you can tell he's a wonderfully gifted teacher because the epistles, they all start with doctrine, the things of God, and then the last half of his epistles have the exhortation to do it. He tells you what God says, and then he tells you, now that you know what God says, start doing it. And that, if you've ever wondered what the difference between preaching and teaching is, that's where it's found. Some people think that teaching means, if you're a teacher, you're rather quiet and you're just systematic and so on. But if you're a preacher, you're loud and you scream and you carry on and you think, well, that's a teacher and that's a preacher. And I used to think, I always wanted to be a preacher. So when I was younger, particularly, I would yell as loud as I possibly could. So everyone thought I was a preacher. All right. Be thankful I'm not like that now. I learnt my throat gave up, so I couldn't do that. But the difference between a teacher and a preacher isn't one yells and one doesn't. A teacher is someone who takes the Word of God and explains it. That's a teacher. A preacher is someone that then explains the Word of God and then says, now, this is how you apply it. Now, and he gives examples, and then he also exhorts you to start doing it. And so I could say, this is the gift of teaching, and I explain what teaching is, being able to explain things in a manner. And then if I want to preach, I say, and so you need to be finding out if you have this gift, and if you do, start using it. See the difference? That's the difference between preaching and teaching. Now, I could yell that or just say it softly. It doesn't matter. But they're the two differences between preaching and teaching, and that's what Paul did, and that's what that... And that's what is needed. You can't exhort and rebuke until you have the teaching. And sadly, many teachers don't want to look at the deep things of God because they're controversial. So they'll just stick to the milk or some philosophy of some sort just to make everybody happy. And they'll avoid the things that people really need to know. And so sometimes there are topics in the Word of God I'd much rather leave. But I know that I have a responsibility to teach you what God says. Otherwise, you can turn around and say, hey, I was never taught that. How could you expect me to do it if I was never taught? So if we were to put all that together, there is a gift to teach. How do you know if you have it? Well, then you've got to test it. If you do have it, how can you use it? In the various forms of teaching and ministry here in this church and in house to house and through writing even. What are the results? Salvation and growth into maturity. And praise God that we have a number of teachers here. And I trust there are other teachers as well that we haven't discovered yet. And if you've never tested to see if you have that gift, I encourage you to come see me. And I'll give you opportunity. Just small, for starters, but I'll give you opportunity to see. Because it's always good to have more teachers of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, you have enabled people to do so many things to the edification of your local church. Thank you for those who serve and the blessing they are. Thank you for those that are willing to teach, to put the study in that's required, and that ability to be able to explain it. And I pray that, Lord, you'll train up many young men here and women, that they too can teach others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.